Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything. I'm Molly.
I'm Pete.
Do we still do an intro?
Did we do one before?
I don't know. Like, this is a podcast where do you think that like the 10 people that listen to us know what the deal is so
I think
far?
They understand. Although I do think that we should say, if you subscribe to this, give us a good rating,
yeah,
and things
that's
like that.
That's what you say at the end of podcasts.
Oh.
Though, so, yeah. Don't you know about podcasts?
At the beginning, we just say this is sponsored by stamps.com.
You integrate the ads like into the... Well, that's usually like... there's usually an ad before the podcast starts. Then the podcast. Then there's usually like ads within it. Like there's like little breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say like and follow us on... whatever, blah, blah.
We have no
rate
social
us,
media.
Da, da. Rate us on iTunes. Give us a good review, blah, blah, blah. And then you end, and then you do another ad.
I think the detriment of this podcast is we have no social media presence.
I think we should make fake ads for things.
Or how about if you're an advertiser and you want to sponsor our podcast?
If you want to reach the 10 people.
Next week, we will be sponsored by Team Hochberg.
So it's Sunday. We have a lot of animals around us.
Yeah, we have a visiting animal.
My parents' dog is staying with us, and we tried to like calm everyone down for a few minutes, and so everybody's laying down right now.
Yeah, Maddie's a bit of a barker, and she's not particularly more of a barker than Stickers.
Yeah, Stickers is a barker too. But they rile each other up, though.
Right, and we have, for most of the day, she just sits in her chair and looks out the window and barks at everyone that walks by. You know, then when Stickers does that, Maddie does that, and then they bark for 20 minutes. We just have to wait it out, and we are getting ready to do this. I'm like, I don't know if we could do that. I'm going to have to, like, stop this tape
twice
recorder.
Twice as many times.
Tape recorder? I'm going to have to stop this Sanyo tape recorder every 5 minutes. But they seem calm now.
Yeah. You went running this morning, and you're preparing for the Shamrock Shuffle.
Yeah, I did.
And
when I say that, do you mock me that I'm preparing for a 4 mile run?
I don't mock anybody that prepares. I didn't say I don't mock anyone. If you train, whatever the race is, it doesn't matter how long it is, then. That's good.
Because typically, I go to Orange Theory Fitness, and during like a regular class, I'll run between 3 miles and 3.5 miles. And the Shamrock Shuffle is just under five.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get a couple of longer. We went to Austin. I got a couple of longer runs in, 6 miles, 7 miles. And then today I wanted to work on my speed for the 5 miles. Mm-hmm.
You did like a tempo run for it.
Yeah, a tempo run.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was doing. Tempo run. I didn't know I was doing one until just now, until you said that. I felt good, and I feel prepared.
It's really nice today.
I feel prepared for the 4.9-mile run. Speaking of Orange Theory, something interesting happened to me at Orange Theory this week. I kind of forgot about it to tell you. Let me know what you think.
Oh, okay.
So there was a day where we were doing a lot of stuff on the floor, like on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So sit-ups, leg lifts.
Yeah.
Different leg lifts, leg jumps.
Yes.
You know, a bunch of exercise on the floor. And often when this happens, you know, I do these exercises and I leave a pool of sweat.
Yes, I'm familiar with this.
On the ground.
Yeah. And we all try to make you take a mat, and for some reason you refuse to. That's the purpose of the mat, is to like have a barrier between you, sweat, and the floor, because then you wipe the mat down.
I don't like the feeling of the mat.
You like the hard floor instead?
It's slippery. I don't know. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. But this class, Matt, one of the head coaches, brought me a mat. He's like, oh, you're spending a lot of time on the floor here to use this.
See?
I was like, oh, my God, they're talking about me.
Yeah.
About how much sweat I'm leaving on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't like when people talk about me when I'm not around.
I don't think they're talking about you. I think he just saw that you were putting a lot of sweat on the floor, and he's grossed out by it. And he's like, you need a mat, and so that you clean it up, because like, what, you're gonna clean the floor up?
I kind of wipe it down with the towel. Or
I don't know. It seems more hygienic to have something else to clean.
Yeah.
That's easier to clean.
But I was embarrassed that he brought me a mat.
Yeah, I don't. To me, like, there are some things that you do that make your life harder, and I don't understand it. Like, okay, so like we went to Austin this week or this past weekend, and like there was plenty of room for in the overhead for you. You had for your bag. No one was like pushing you to go on. Like you could just put everyone else is putting their bag up there. You can just put your bag up there, but instead you cram it under the seat in front of you, so you have no leg room. So you have to be like all mushed into your seat. And I'm just like, why do you make it so uncomfortable?
There weren't a lot of.
But there was one spot for it at least.
But you had to put your
stuff. There was multiple spots. Both times there were multiple spots that you could have put it in. Why don't you feel like you deserve to have the spot up there? You're like everybody else. Your bag's the same size as everybody else.
I just think it's easier to grab.
But then you'd spend all this time like trying to push it under, and then when we leave, it takes a long. Like it's way faster to me to just like reach up and grab my bag than it is for you to pull it back out. And then the whole plane, you're like super smushed in your seat. Do what you want to do, but why are you making your life harder?
I'm not uncomfortable.
It looks uncomfortable. It would be more comfortable without it there. You could actually like move your leg.
I was able to move my legs. I was able to fit my feet on the side of my bag.
Not really. If you like wedge them, I saw it. You never did. They were always just like your knees are like up in your chest the whole time.
It was not like that.
It's not comfortable. You're like forcing yourself to believe that. I do it.
I know, but you're capable.
Just do it. I don't know
that are
why.
Doing it, they
why are you so worried about everybody else? Make your life like it is there for a reason. Make your life more comfortable. You're making your life uncomfortable just because you don't like the looks of people. Does that make any sense?
Flying out to Austin, yes, that was the case.
But coming back, there was space up there too. It was tighter, but
one
there was,
spot.
No, there, were, was, there was a spot next to mine too. There were two spots.
I don't know.
Because I tried to take your bag and put it up there, and you were like, "No, I'm just cramming it under my seat." I was like, "There's a spot next to mine." You're like, "No."
But there's other people.
Well,
too.
Who cares? They can figure it out.
I know.
Do you think the first person got on the plane was like, "I'm not putting my bag up here because other people are getting on the plane"?
No, that's a good point.
Do you think anybody before you thought that?
Probably not, because the airplane people are the worst.
And if you don't like those people, then why do you care if they have a spot for their bag or not?
So we get to the Austin airport flying back to Chicago, and we're in group 7. I was like, how many groups are on this flight? And so they're calling out group 1, group 2, group 3, and then they make an announcement saying that the flight is full and everybody in group 8, 9, and above will have to check their bags because there'll be no more room in the overhead bins. And so I'm like, all right, we're still safe. We're at 7.
Yeah.
But then at some point they said, all right, that's it. The overhead bins are full.
Yeah.
We need to check everybody's bag.
But I knew when they said that they weren't full.
And I was like, what kind of...
Because I've flown more than once.
What kind of shim-sham operation is this? Half the flight is still waiting to get on, and already every single overhead bin is full?
Yeah.
I don't like the way they run their business.
You know what we're doing right now? This is very like radio talk right now.
Talking about overhead bins?
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about radio bins. Overhead airport airplane bins. Give me a call at 312-875-5555.
Hey, Pete. Yeah, I remember back in the day, you didn't have to pay to check your bag.
So you're right.
That's the problem. Millennials bringing on their carry-ons, their away bags that they see on the Instagram.
They made that announcement. I'm like, well, that's fine. My bag is small enough where I could fit under the seat. So I'm not going to check it.
Yeah.
It was just for,
it was for bigger roller bags
that couldn't fit under the seat. So I was like, all right, I'm safe. I can fit this under. I can cram it and push it with my feet under the seat in front of me. It's uncomfortable for you to look at, but it's not uncomfortable for me to sit.
I think you don't know what actual comfort is because you're just always used to the bag being crammed there.
Because you... And Like, I am totally fine just sitting on a plane.
I just feel like you, yeah, you, we know, we've established this, that you don't like read or watch anything on your phone. You just sit there the whole plane. I look at it as like, oh, okay, flying kind of sucks. So I'm going to make the most of it in that, like, when do you have uninterrupted time to like watch something or read something?
Yeah, you watch multiple things. I did download The Irishman.
Oh my gosh.
But I never
watched
it.
The punishment is that.
But I can sit and just stare.
I know. Crammed into your seat.
But it doesn't bother me, but it bothers you that I can just sit and look straight ahead and not do anything.
Yeah.
Why does it bother you so much?
It's just everything about your travel is like uncomfortable.
But it was a good trip. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let me go back to the first point I was trying to make a long time ago, is that you went running this morning.
Yeah.
And that when you got home, you were waiting to see, like, Stickers usually sits in the window in her chair, like looking out, and it's really cute. And because she's white, she really, really stands out.
Yeah.
Super cute. Like, if I walked by that, I mean, we have friends who will walk by our house and be like, I saw Stickers in the window again. But instead, you were treated to two cats. Keith and Lemur were fighting in the window.
It was so great. I'm so mad that I didn't have my phone with me.
I would have loved to have seen it.
Yeah. I was like watching them and laughing. And I was waiting for somebody else to walk by so they could just admire this cat fight or play. I don't even know what they were doing.
I just imagine being like punching, like 1930s punching cat. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. it was really funny seeing it right in the window.
Yeah, so yeah, you never know what you're gonna see when you walk by her house.
And then I got home from my run, and then I was on Instagram, and one of the things that I like to do on Sunday morning Instagram is go through everybody's Instagram stories from the night before and say, I'm so glad I wasn't doing that. I'm so glad I wasn't doing that. And some things actually I would be interested in going to. But then seeing it, I was like, oh, that looks terrible. I'm glad I'm not in a karaoke bar.
Oh my gosh, yeah. A lot of karaoke that goes on that I'm glad I'm not at.
So that's one of my Sunday morning rituals. Yeah, looking at other people's Instagram.
Or there's like people are at concerts with like lasers.
And haven't we established that we don't want to see an entire concert on your Instagram story?
Some people haven't gotten this message yet.
Didn't they read Dude with Sign?
Yeah, I don't know why people are like oblivious to this.
And maybe it's different because I don't listen with sound. So maybe if I was hearing something.
I think most people don't listen with sound, so.
But I mean, how good is the sound from, 700 yards away?
Yeah, that the whole thing of like where you see somebody's posted 20 stories and they're all just like of the far away at a concert.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why that, the message hasn't gotten to everybody yet. But yeah, it is fun going through Instagram saying, yeah, I'm happy I didn't do that. We did nothing. We didn't do it. If we did, if we had an Instagram story of just us in bed watching
Very Cavallari. I'd rather see that.
Somebody would say, oh my God, what losers. 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday, they're watching Very Cavallari.
But we do. We fast forward through the, we watch all the Jay and Kristen stuff. We fast forward through the Brittany and Stone stuff.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Sometimes we watch
them.
Justin and Scoot.
Yeah, we watch them.
We pretty much do.
Yeah.
They are like always getting in a fight over their new house and if they're going to get married or not. This is our, should we, okay. I listen to a lot of like Bachelor fan podcasts. Is there a Very Cavallari podcast out there? And if there isn't, should I start one?
I'm sure there is.
I can't be the only person who's into this, right?
No, there was a big controversy in my world of social media. There was a big thing about how the Cutlers were able to get New Glarus beer in Nashville.
Yeah.
Because like they were going camping because Jay wanted to take Kristen camping because he went to L.A. Ooh.
With her.
Emmys, yeah. So it was terrible for him. So she had to go camping.
So they went camping with Justin and Scoot.
And in the back of their RV, they had a case of New Glarus beer, which you can only get in Wisconsin. And there's a lot of speculation about how they were able to procure New Glarus beer.
We were also watching when they were in LA for her to do like Emmys, because she does stuff for E, like red carpet stuff for E. So they were, it was her there for the Emmys, and they were doing stuff before, like getting, she was getting like a manicure and a pedicure and getting ready, getting like her hair done and everything, getting ready for it. And one of the things, she's like, we're getting IVs. And I was like, oh, no, like, you know, like, wellness is such a thing right now, of whatever side you're on, if you're listening to podcasts that debunk it, or if you're supporting it and watching, like, Goop Lab, not hate watching Goop Labs on Netflix. Like, wellness is such a topic to talk about right now. So when I'm like, oh, they're getting IVs, come on, like, rolling up my eyes. And I was like, wait, I've done this.
but not because you were working 16 hours to cover the Emmys. You were gonna
I was running a marathon, but it's still like hard, two hard things, physically demanding things.
Yeah, they are both physically hard.
And it was like the same benefit. We wanted the same benefits from them. So, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. All right, that's our very capillary talk.
So, okay. I guess going back to Austin, one of the things that happened on the flight, besides being uncomfortable, was that, well, you were uncomfortable. I was not uncomfortable. I was sitting in my seat. Properly, I did not recline. You know, that was a big controversy last week.
Well, the guy,
too.
Did you know something? I think you were asleep, but like on the way home, the guy in front of me turned around, and I was like, he like turned around, and I was like, what's he going to say? What is he about to ask me? He's like, is it okay with you if I recline my seat? Like, he asked me.
Oh,
like,
he did.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
But when he turned around, I was like, what did you do? It felt like we were going to get into a fight about something, and then he was like, ah.
On the way back, I think our plane was bigger. I seemed to have more leg room, and
it was newer.
On the flight out, I was sitting in front of a baby who was...
cried the whole time. And then people had the nerve to tell the mom at the end, your baby was so good. I was like, what are you talking about? This baby cried the whole time and kicked.
And I don't... that doesn't really bother me, because I feel for parents that have to bring a baby on a plane.
Yeah.
It's hard to control a baby if the baby's crying. So I'm not going to say, like, oh my God, control your baby. Like, that, it happens. But the baby was also coughing and kicking.
Yeah.
Control kicking.
One
maybe.
Thing.
You know, like, you can probably control the kicking the back of my seat. I think you glared a couple times.
I didn't glare.
I didn't.
No, I didn't glare. The only thing, like, it was, the baby cried the whole time, and it's annoying, but yeah, what are you going to do? The only time I glared was when the woman sitting behind her was like, your baby was so good. That's when I was like, what are you talking about? This baby cried the whole flight.
Well, maybe she was sleeping during the flight, and she didn't know. That was a pleasant experience. Didn't bother me, though. Just looking straight ahead.
Your knees and your chest.
For 2 hours. So what happened? What happened in Austin?
We accidentally went to a Bernie Sanders rally.
Yeah, we did.
We stayed near, there's like where Lady Bird Lake is, Town Lake, Colorado River, like the water that goes through the middle of Austin. There's like a path, a really nice like path around it that people run, bike, walk their dogs. So we ran around it, and when I was running, I saw them setting up tents, and then later on we were by it, and we're like, what is, there was like a bunch of flags, there were like big flags and tons of people, and there was a big Trump 2020 sign, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think, is Donald Trump here? And it sent like shivers down my spine. It was like that, like Darth Vader was holding a rally. Then we went online to look, and it was like, wait, no, Bernie Sanders is having a rally at 5 o'clock. So this was the day after Nevada.
Yeah.
So he had won. So he was like, Elizabeth Warren had been in San Antonio. So he was coming to Texas and with some momentum. And so we thought, like, oh, that's amazing.
Let's
just like right here.
Candidate.
It's so easy. Yeah. Right by our hotel. Let's go to the Bernie Sanders rally. I'm like, we can go get pointed at by Bernie Sanders. He did not disappoint. He was so Bernie Sanders.
There was a lot of pointing.
There was a lot of people there, but we still, because we came like a few minutes after it started, and we just kind of like slid in, and we were standing pretty close to the stage. Considering how many people were there. We watched him speak for, I don't know, he spoke probably like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
As soon as he was done, he was like in his motorcade leaving.
Yeah, it was quick.
There was no, like, you know, in the West Wing, I feel like they'd be like walking, like, I don't know, that he would like be slowly making his way back. No, this was just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it was really quick how he got out of there. Off to the next place.
But there were Trump protesters. Well, is that how you say it? Protesters,
yeah,
for
protesting.
Trump. Protesting Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, they were protesting.
And yeah, they just seemed crazy.
Well, I know everybody here listening is looking to me for an endorsement. I don't. There's people that I like that I would consider voting for. I like most of the Democratic candidates. You know, whoever gets the nomination, I would probably end up voting for anyway. But the thing about Bernie a lot of people have problems with Bernie and Bernie supporters. I get that as well.
Yes.
But when he's like sitting up there and he's yelling about how he wants, you know, free health care for all the people. Mm-hmm. And I know there's questions about how this is going to be paid for. I understand that. But when he's saying, like, I want every American to have free health care, I don't understand what you're... Why? Boo!
Yeah, yeah.
Who would boo
and like,
that?
Yeah, like, you're like a lunatic, like, running around acting mentally unstable, and you're against that.
You can have your problems with presidential candidates and their platforms or whatever, but when somebody says he wants to give everyone free health care, I don't know how you could say, like, no, we want to... I love my insurance the way it is.
Yeah. So they were... There was, like, that group that seemed quite irrational protesting. And then there was also, like, a big truck that would go by along the bridge that we were near. And it didn't seem like... I don't think anybody in that crowd was, like, looking at that truck like, oh, yeah, that's... They're right. That seems really smart and rational. I'm going to change who I'm voting for because of that. Yeah. But the other thing is that the rally... was held right by the Stevie Ray Vaughan sculpture in Austin. So we had to go take our picture by the Stevie Ray Vaughan sculpture because we saw like a sign that said bathrooms by the Stevie Ray Vaughan sculpture.
Yeah.
We're like, what?
I guess I never...
saint of this podcast.
I guess I never realized he was from Austin.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Texas icon.
Yeah. Texas, yeah. I just never really put him in Austin together. It's a pretty cool statue, I will say.
He looks tough. He doesn't look like a dork that would write "The house is a rocket." I hope he thought it was his worst song too, and he was like embarrassed by it.
As he was
are there
his
any
money.
Stevie Ray Vaughan? Anybody has written like a memoir about Stevie Ray Vaughan out there, or a book about Stevie Ray Vaughan out there that would
confirm or deny?
Let us know what songs he was proud of and what songs he was embarrassed by.
So we had
Stevie Ray Vaughan scholar.
So we had fun in Austin. The weather was
decent.
I mean, it was in the 60s, 50s and 60s, so we were able to walk around comfortably.
Another good thing to have in Austin is that on Friday, like, evening, we were going to go to a concert, and we were, like, going to stop and have, like, a beer somewhere and have some dinner. So we stopped at this, there's, like, a stretch of, like, a lot of beer garden kind of bars and, like, this, like, older historical area. And, like, we avoid, even though, like, we usually stay off of Congress, we don't, like, spend time on Congress, and mm-hmm. we don't go to Sixth Street. Like, we don't like the really touristy, and we don't go to the drag or anything. Like, we don't go to, like, the touristy areas. But there's like this stretch that has some kind of like cute bars. I mean, there's like some cheesy, bro-y Mardi Gras type bars, but then there's also like some places. So we stopped at one of those, and it was just that they have a lot of like local breweries and that they feature there. And so we're sitting there, it's really pleasant, like it's just like feels relaxing, and we're sitting in the window, and in this it's a weird area in that it's like old and historical, but there's also like a lot of new construction right there too. So there's like a lot of big condo buildings, new condos, like slick new condo buildings. Then there's like these kind of older bars, and then there's like a couple of old houses that are still like really ramshackle old houses in the middle of all this, and you're like, how does this still exist? So one of them was like right across the street from where we were sitting.
It's like the Up House. It's like surrounded by big buildings, an old house, but although this was like a really disgusting old house.
Like nothing good goes in this.
All the shades were closed.
It had a very meth lab feel to it. So we're sitting there watching, and this guy like comes out of the house, and he's like yelling at people because there's such a contrast with like kids on scooter, or you know, like young people on scooters. Yeah. Everyone's on a scooter in Austin.
People coming and jumping out of Ubers.
Yeah, like very
with loafers on.
Privileged young people coming to these bars, and this guy, this holdout guy, and he'd come out and was like yelling at people, nonsense. Okay, so we watched this happen, and we're like, it seemed weird.
Yeah,
the stakes just kept rising, and like, okay, so then this like guy pulls up in this old beat up Suburban, and he gets out, and like he has to crawl over the passenger side, like the driver's side won't open. So he crawls over to the passenger side, and it looked really beat up, like the door might not open, like he'd been in an accident, and he seemed inebriated.
Yeah.
And it was stumbling. This is like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like stumbling, and we couldn't tell. He had like a lanyard with keys or something, but we thought it was like attached to his beard, like he had it in his mouth. And so he pulled up in this in front of the house, but there was like an old rotted out van in the driveway. There were multiple like old rotted out vehicles on the property, and so there was a van, and so he went we're watching the house, him stumbling out with the keys in his mouth, and we just watch him go to the side in just the middle of, so the sun's still out, there's no like privacy or anything, the people just all around, just go and like pull his drop his pants down and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Next to the van. So we're like, what's happening here? Like, does he live here, or does he just, he's just drunk and he stopped to pee? Does he know this guy that lives here? And why did he just have to pull his pants all the way down to pee?
A lot of questions.
So we watched this happen, and we're just like, wait, I can't even, like, I'm horrified. I can't.
You couldn't stop looking.
I couldn't even, like, fathom what was going on here. So then, just in the middle of all these big buildings, all these people, this situation that, like, the opposite of like an oasis,
yeah,
like the situation that exists right here. So then he like goes back to the car and he's like fiddling with things. Then the guy who lives there comes out, mm-hmm, right? And he has like a drink or something, and he sits in like a chair.
Yeah.
He has a cigarette and like a beer, and he's like sitting there, and they're like yelling at each other. Okay. Then the guy goes, he does like some stuff with the car. Then the peeing guy goes, and he pees again.
Yeah. Well, he was drunk. You have to pee multiple times, I think.
He broke the seal.
Yeah, he broke the seal.
He went back to his bathroom next to the van. Yeah. Then he broke into the van like through, okay, so he like reached into, he didn't open the door of that one either. He reached into not only the window but the little triangle side kind of window,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
he pried that open, reached in and opened it. Then he got into the van, and he's in the van, like there was a lot of stuff in the van, so he's like rummaging through the van, and he comes out, and I guess he had a bottle of like motor oil or something, and he opens up like the hood of his yeah, of the Suburban, and
yeah,
fills it, you know, up the oil or something. He's doing some things, and then we see both of them like go into the house, yeah, together.
I was like, why didn't he use the bathroom in the house? Was there no bathroom in the house?
Okay, so we watch this happen. As we're watching this happen, like this huge tour bus pulls up in front of, you know, there's just this like pleasant little, we have, yeah, plenty of space, just Friday at like 5 o'clock,
not
like
a lot
of regulars
there.
Are, yeah, there. It was just chill, really pleasant,
very comfortable.
So this like big double-decker tour bus comes in, and yeah, like we're sitting along the window, and we're sorted by a door, and they all stream in, and we're like, what is this? Like, is this like a wedding party? Like, how did, what's happening here? And it's Texas, and everybody's big, like it's, everything's big in Texas, and it's, yeah, like just everybody's taking up all the space and just like pushing, you know, like now we're like crammed up again, like we can't even breathe. And they brought their own like food too, and everybody's getting a beer, and the bartender's like, the bartender, it was like one bartender who was already harried with like the five people, yeah, that were in there, and then like 50 people come in or 100 people,
yeah,
come in, whatever.
It was a lot.
He's just like totally overwhelmed. It seemed to be like this one little fellow was in charge of everybody, and they were on some kind of tour, but we could never figure out what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just like they were so loud, and just they just took up so much. It wasn't even just the physical, they just like completely took over the whole space.
Yeah.
And so they, yeah, they had like their own food that they brought. And so they're all just like, instead of it being like, oh, let's go in, let's have a beer, they just all like come in and just start eating all their food right away, like
standing
right next
up,
to us.
Eating their whatever.
Just standing, yeah, up, like cramming food into their mouth, something. And they kept talking about how like one of the things they had were donuts, and it was some kind of donut called a golden egg. Is that what it was called? Something,
yeah,
egg.
Golden egg, yeah.
Golden egg?
Yeah.
Well, they kept saying, I can't believe I can't remember, because they kept saying it over and over again. Did you have a golden egg? Have you had a golden egg yet? Like, everyone, did you have a golden egg?
We don't know what it was.
No.
Was it a bar crawl? Some sort of bar crawl?
I don't know, because there were like babies and old people and people in between. Like, it, I don't know what it was.
It didn't,
like, if you would have told me if it was like a wedding party.
Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
But it didn't seem like people knew each other. And then there was like one guy in charge who was explained to somebody else that it was some type of tour. And then when we were leaving, we noticed like a lot of people had never even gotten off the bus. They were still just on the bus. Well, I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
I know there was a part of me that wanted to get on the back of the bus and see
no.
what, see what,
it looked horrible.
What this was all about.
Let's all fill up a bar, eat a bunch of donuts, and then get back on the bus. That was like what it was. Real fast. So then the next morning when I was running around that path, I realized where I was, that I was right by that house. I detoured off and like ran by that house and took a picture of it. Then later on we were like, we kind of want pizza. Oh, remember that bar that we were at? They had like a food truck right there that had vegan Detroit style pizza. Let's go back there. So we went back to this place and all of that was still going on. Yeah. Like that guy was still there.
Yeah, that Suburban was still out in front.
Yeah. We didn't see him pee, but we did see him. We did see him again. We couldn't get away from it.
There was an incident. Well, I don't know if I call it an incident.
We ate a lot of really good food.
Yeah.
And for the most part got really good service, except we had one frustrating experience.
So you had made reservations at this place called Beer Plant.
Yeah.
The Beer Plant.
Yeah, which was like a brewery, vegan brewery, gastropod.
It was kind of an upscale restaurant.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't fine dining, but it wasn't just like a veggie burger. It was,
right, it's not, yeah. Yeah. So our reservations were for 8 o'clock or 7. So we got there. We ended up getting there early and we're like, oh, if they could seat us, they could seat us. If not, I don't mind waiting. Yeah. And so they were packed.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, well, you can have a drink at the bar or whatever and we'll seat you, which is fine. Like, order a drink, and we just kind of, there was a place for us to sit. And so like at 7:15, maybe they brought us over to a table. Which was...
Actually, it was before 7, because as things were not going well, I was thinking like...
Oh, right, you're right.
I wonder if we would have just gotten here at 7, we would have gotten a real table. It was a table that was... It was like the kids' table. So it was at the end of the bar towards like where the servers worked out of, like mm-hmm. where their like terminal was for processing orders, where yeah. they got like water and glasses and stuff, where they got their orders from the kitchen and the bathroom.
Right.
So it was at the end of the bar near that, this like kids' table that was like a table that was low, like
it was like a desk. It was yeah. like a long desk.
Yeah.
So we would sit. We had to sit next to each other.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So essentially, it was like the bar, uh-huh. and then me next to a guy that was on a stool who was higher than at bar height.
Like, I don't know why they just didn't put two extra stools there. Would have made a lot more sense.
And so it was uncomfortable, and then there was a vent that was like blowing right on top of us,
like super cold. Mm-hmm. Air blowing like right, like forcing right down on top of us. So the whole thing was uncomfortable.
So I went over.
And there were normal tables available.
I wanted
too.
Right, yeah. I went over and asked, like, you know, there's a vent that's blowing right above us. I didn't ask to be moved, but I'm like, there's a vent. Can we, like, turn off the vent?
Yeah.
You know, it was coming down
40
really
degrees
cold.
Outside. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And she was like, okay.
Well, she said she had to go talk to her floor manager or something who was, like, not. Where was this person?
So she eventually comes back and says that she can't do anything about it. The building controls that, and she can't do anything about it. So then I said, well, can we move because we're uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And she said, no, we're packed.
We could get another table at 9:30.
Yeah. This is at 7.
And there were tables available.
So
open. People weren't sitting up.
Yeah, exactly.
Four reservations, which we also had, one of those tables could have been our table.
Right. So that was frustrating. So then I think this is where I got the 7:15. So finally at 7:15, somebody came over to us.
A bartender.
A bartender came over to us to
like
ask us.
Like leaned over the bar.
Yeah. He had to look down at us.
Yeah.
Because we're like 2 feet below the bar.
Yeah.
It was just silly. I wish
it's
we were taking a picture of how silly we looked at this little table. Yeah. It was like a kid's table.
Yeah.
We were just kind of crunched at the end. Like, servers were bringing all the like all their glassware from tables like right in front of us.
So they hadn't brought us water. They hadn't like that. We had nothing. Yeah.
So yeah, the bartender asked if we want something, and we ordered. And you asked a server that came up to the station as she was putting glassware away. She's like, hey, do you mind if we grab one of these waters?
And she just like clunked it down on the table. And so we ordered like soup and salad, like things like that. And everything would like came out like at weird time. Like, you know, there was no, it was just like the bartender helped us out.
Yeah.
Like there was no service.
Yeah. He took the order and then somebody came out and gave us the food and that's it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever checked on us.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said, can I refill your drink? Can I refill the water? It was just, the bartender took it and somebody brought out the food and that was it.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever came back to say like, oh, there's 2 seats open at the bar. You know, we just kind of, I think I went up there to ask that we be moved, and like they had brought out our first dish. So I was like, all right, I guess we'll just suck it up and eat here. We ate, and the food was great.
Yeah, no, the food was really good. Like, I wish we had a restaurant like that in Chicago.
Yeah, it was great. So dinner's over, the bill comes, I tip zero.
Really making a statement.
But I felt uncomfortable, and I felt uncomfortable.
Well, I feel like
it.
They should have like given us, oh, I'm so sorry you've had, you know, this bad experience. Here's 20% off your bill or something like that.
I thought we complained enough.
No, it was ridiculous. The situation was ridiculous. Yeah.
And
there might as well have been a guy just like pulling his pants down and peeing next to us. Like, that's how weird it was.
I've worked in the service industry. I know how hard people work. I like to think of myself as a generous tipper.
Yeah, you know you are. Yeah, you are.
Even when you don't get the best service, they could have a bad day. You know, I get all that's involved. I always tip what I feel is a proper amount. But nobody helped us. I felt bad for the bartender. It was like, well, but he's probably not even going to get... This is like a different... This is not a bar thing.
Yeah.
We did not have a server.
And it was very minimal what he did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he just came over and took our order.
Yeah, one time.
I was like, I'm not going to tip anything. We had zero service.
Yeah.
Who is this goat? Like, who deserves a gratuity for what just happened? The food was good.
Yeah.
I'll pay the bill.
Right.
But I'm not going to give you any extra of my money for you didn't provide anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt guilty about it. Should I have?
It just goes against your nature if you're like regularly a tipper.
And I think you said like, well, what about, you know, the bartender, somebody, you know, you're punishing the workers that are doing a good job by not doing this. Yeah, I guess I am. Then the worker should say like, hey, why do we have this dumb little table at the end of the bar? We can't sit people here.
And the girls who were like the hostesses, they were just like, the two of them together couldn't figure out anything. Like, they just couldn't do basic things.
Well, the one was able to change her outfit.
Yeah, she changed her outfit while we were there.
she was able to do that. But yeah, if I was running a restaurant, I don't know anything about running a restaurant, so let me just get that out there. But if I say that, hey, this is a weird table, it's really cold.
Yeah.
There are a number of other tables that are currently open. They may have reservations attached to it.
Yeah.
We need to sit in one of those seats.
We also watched, because we were there early sitting and waiting, and we watched lots of people come in. It would always be like two people, and they would come in like, we don't have a reservation. And the girls would be like, oh, we won't have anything. And we can do 9:30. Like, who's going to come in at 6:30 and be like, okay, that's fine, you know? So they'd be like, just wait a second, we'll see what we can do. And they would seat everyone. So there were tables. Like, what's the whole 9:30 lie?
Okay, yeah.
Scam.
Maybe in the hopes that they're like, nobody's gonna come back at 9:30. They're just saying that to be...
Yeah, I don't know. It was... They just seemed very confused by their job.
So, as somebody who understands how hard people in the restaurant industry work, and I know it's a hard job, and you're on your feet, and you're doing thankless job for people that are probably very rude for the most part. I felt guilty leaving a zero tip.
But I feel like we were like these like second class citizens sitting there watching the other people being like, wow, they actually have a waitress that come, like, they got water, they got napkins, like, they, oh, somebody actually like talked to them about what they're going to order.
And whatever the bill was, $60 or something, it was like, I put 60, and then where the tip was, I just like really hard like a line, really hard black line.
I remember too, like while we were waiting, I went to go use the restroom and I walked by that table and I thought like,
how weird it was.
Like,
it's weird.
These people must have, like, what kind of desperation to like be okay with sitting there?
Yeah, I don't know why that existed.
Yeah.
But it's probably, no, it's for people that are like us that will complain a little bit, but eventually suck it up and just eat there.
Yeah, I guess we should look at like their Yelp reviews and see if people have complained about that table specifically.
So that was fun. We also had another eating issue.
Oreos. we eat some Oreos. It might be the first time we've ever eaten Oreos together, I suppose.
Yeah, probably.
We don't eat a lot of like packaged food like that, I guess. So
was this after dinner? Was this the same night? It was a night we were watching we went home and watched the results of the Nevada caucus.
Hotel TV is so... Why is it still so bad?
Yeah. It's like non-HD.
Yeah. It's like an HDTV with standard... everywhere, no matter how no matter how expensive the hotel room is, it's
you think
still,
so?
Yeah, yeah, because there's like really nice places we've stayed, and that's how it's been.
I mean, once you're used to Comcast, where you have a guide of things to you can look at things to watch, you become so used to that. And when you don't have it, it's like, oh my god,
how and when, yeah, like basic cable is your only option. It's just like so terrible, nothing. We're just like begging for a Friends episode. I hate Friends.
So I think maybe after that dinner, we were like, oh, we need to get this experience
we
off
some
our
Oreos.
And which I didn't know that Oreos are vegan.
Yeah, they are.
So I was like, oh, that's exciting. So we bought a pack.
I've never eaten one before, but yay, I'm so glad I can do it now.
I've eaten Oreos.
We've been doing that for a long time, and we've never had
Oreos. I'm not a big cookie eater anything. You know, I don't eat a lot of snacks like that. But it sounded good to have Oreos. So we're in our bed watching the Nevada caucus results like we do. And we break out the pack of Oreos,
and it was like I'm like, this is exactly why I haven't been watching anything with this election, because this is all horrible.
And so I eat my Oreo.
You just go for it. You just put the whole thing in your mouth.
Yeah,
one bite.
I think if I was in another, if I was somewhere else maybe, or if I was standing up, but I was in our bed that we're sleeping in,
and you're a bit of a spiller.
And
you're a bit crumbly.
Yeah, I'm a bit so I didn't want to take a bite into the Oreo and have all the mush come on the bed that we were sleeping. But so like if we were standing up outside or something, I would probably eat, you know, I would take a bite out of the Oreo, but since we were in the bed and I needed to protect the surface of the bed from crumbs, I just
It's crazy.
Put the Oreo in my mouth.
Sociopath.
And yeah, you had never seen anything of the likes of that in your life, and you were like horrified.
There's three ways to eat an Oreo. One, you open it up and you lick the filling out, and then you eat the cookies.
That's the classic.
Two, you open it up, the filling, you like kind of keep the filling like a little bit on each, and then you eat each of them. Three, you open it up, filling stays on one side, you eat one side plain and the other side of the filling. That's the those three ways are the only way to eat an Oreo. There's no just popping it in your mouth straight up.
Why?
Because they have like a lot of calories. Like you're not savoring it at all. And the whole point of an Oreo is opening it up in some variation of that is the only way to go.
I understand.
Going straight for it is...
The concept of an Oreo is definitely crazy. Opening it up and doing something with the creamy filling.
Yeah. And there's no crumbs that
the choice
way.
Is,
opening it up, there's no crumbs.
How can you be sure it wouldn't break?
Because it just won't. It's against the nature of it. I'm not saying bite into it. I'm saying opening it up. And if you, let's say like you open it up and you eat maybe you eat them in two bites each. I think you're minimizing your crumbs that way too. It's like when you bite into the whole thing, it's just going to like come out. I understand that. But I think if you just daintily bite each side, you're fine.
No, you, no matter how daintily you bite into it, if you bite into half the Oreo, there's going to be
some
remnants.
I'm fine with just going for it and eating the whole side, like half, but not just straight up both halves and the filling all at once.
I guess I could have, and a thing that I'll do here with like fruit, like messy fruit, like a peach or a plum or something, I'll eat it over the sink. And you find that horrifying. You also find that horrifying.
You could have gone to the hotel, like to the bathroom sink.
Hold on, I have to eat an Oreo. Let me go over the sink and eat this. I have to say, I was taken aback about your shock about me eating an Oreo in one whole bite.
I was taken aback by seeing it happen.
And I think I tried to say that these were smaller than regular
weren't.
Oreos, but they were regular size Oreos.
Yeah, you just went for it.
But I was just trying to, like, I didn't want to make a mess of the bed. I think that's okay. In that situation, I understand it may be crazy out somewhere else, but in that particular situation, I was making the best of the situation by eating the Oreo.
I just wouldn't have one then if I was.
All right. What else happened?
We also had a kind of similar to the restaurant experiences that we found that, like, we'll be somewhere that's crowded and you have like seats and you want, you know, like somebody wants to take your, you know, people are like swimming around you, eyeing up your seat. And
yeah.
So when we're ready to leave, we check out who's in the wings.
Around us, yeah.
We're like, who deserves these seats? Who looks like they deserve these seats?
Yeah.
And if we don't feel like anybody's deserving, we'll stay and wait until somebody shows up that is.
We call those spite seats.
Spite seats.
Yeah.
It feels like a very Curb Your Enthusiasm thing.
Because he's got the spite store, the spite coffee.
So are we the only people shop. Who do... I think probably most people do this.
Yeah, because even last night we were at Hop Leaf and... The people next to us
were... The people on our right were really... Like, they're just telling gross stories really loud and...
You're right, my left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were, like, elbowing us and...
Yeah, the guy next to me was hitting me.
General obnoxiousness and...
Loud.
Yeah. And then the people on our other side were really, like, pleasant and...
Just, like, two normal people having a normal conversation.
Yeah. And so their friends showed up. So everybody was wanting our two seats to expand. And the nice people, their friends showed up, and as we were leaving, and we looked at them like, all right, take our seats. We were like, do you want our seats?
Yeah.
Hurry, take them before these other people take them. You deserve them. We don't know. We really don't know. Those could be horrible
people. Yeah, they could be too, but
they'd be really nice.
I didn't want to reward the people that were too, you're right, my left, by letting them have more friends.
I also, the person who was sitting next to you who was loud and elbowy, he was complaining about the bartender who we love there, too.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah.
So
I'm
that
really
made
glad.
Me upset.
It was a tenuous situation, too, because the bus was coming. So we had to get the bus in 5 minutes. We're going to have to make this decision fast, or we're going to miss our bus and just stay there until the next person that came in that we deemed appropriate to take our seats. My favorite thing that we did in Austin was every time we would walk somewhere, we said something like, what if we ran into Andy Roddick? What if Andy Roddick was
You here? Said that.
I did not say that. Andy Roddick. Everybody knows how much you love Andy Roddick.
Yeah.
So wherever we were at, like, oh, wouldn't it be
Every
fun
time
if, like,
I've
ran
gone
into-
to Austin since he's lived there, I've looked for him. I've hoped to run into him at the airport or something. I really don't think, like, he would... I don't know. I feel like he kind of... They live sort of out of town. He just goes to work and... works out and does like stuff at home with his kids. Like, I don't feel like he's like out doing the same kind of things we are. But
and when I was on the running path, I thought, like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if we just saw Andy Roddick out here running?
No.
I could see him doing that.
We didn't see any celebrities.
Yeah.
Oh, but we got recognized though.
Yeah, I forgot. We're the celebrities.
We were the celebrities. So we on Friday when we got there, like our hotel has like this cute bar that kind of felt like Palm Springs, and it was so like nice and sunny out. We were so happy to be out of winter, and so we walked up to the bar and sat down. Like, there's two seats available, and right when we sat down, the girl who was next to you was like, do you make the cards in Chicago? I was like, yes. She's like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I recognize you from Instagram. So we got recognized.
Yeah, that was fun. Her name was Cassandra. I was like, oh, what's your name? And she's like, Cassandra. She's like, I think I follow you too. You know, like, you have the dogs or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
So,
she was really nice.
Yeah, she was super nice.
Yeah.
And she lived here, and she had done stuff with One Tail at a time. But she from Texas, maybe?
I think she was originally, like, and so she's moved back.
She just moved back.
Yeah.
So she said her name was Cassandra, and I'm like, oh, let me look her up on Instagram. And it turns out I follow her back and liked all her posts.
Classic.
I didn't have any idea who she was, but then...
And you're always like, I follow these people because of you that I don't, like,
follow. Yeah, you didn't follow... You weren't following her on Instagram.
Well,
why am I following... I don't have no... Maybe I... Yeah, I was like, why am I following her? Why am I liking her posts?
Yeah.
And she doesn't really... There weren't a lot of dog photos or anything. It was, like, her and her husband or something.
I just don't follow people back that much. Not because I don't think that they would post anything good. I just kind of have my feed... I think we've talked about this before, like, more curated to things that I need to see that on a regular basis.
You follow more influencers.
Sort of work related.
Yeah.
So I guess if I had two or three Instagram. If I had a pet one, a work one, a personal one, it might be different. So if I follow you on Instagram, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, I follow regular people, which causes you much concern.
And some regular people are better than others. I would think hers would be better than most.
Yeah. But then I felt like a heel where she was saying, like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, oh, yeah, I follow you as well. How was your trip to, you know, Paris? But I felt bad. But so if she's listening, Cassandra, thank you for saying hi to us.
Well, I think we know two things. I don't follow that many non-work related people on, or that I don't know. Or it's either people that are work related or people that I know well that I follow. And you like everything without even, like, knowing what it is. Because all the time I'm showing, like, did you see that photo? And then I'm like, wait, you liked it, so you saw it. And then you have, like, no memory of it.
No, I'm going to, no. I mean, somewhat, yes. There will be a dog rescue. We'll post a picture of a dog. And you'll say, like, oh, did you see that story of Bruno?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe. Because I'll see the picture.
You just like things without reading the captions.
Especially if it's a long, sad story. I'm like, eh. I'll just, you know.
See, when you have a more curated feed, you can read the long, sad stories.
Yeah, I.
You don't have a bunch of just, like, pictures of people at concerts that they were at. And what else do regular people post all the time?
I don't know.
Food with bad lighting.
Whenever you say, like, oh, did you see this post? I always think it's a quiz. I think you're trying to quiz me to get me in a gotcha moment. Like, you liked it. But yeah, so it was fun seeing the girl in Austin who recognized you from your cards.
Yep.
All right, what else? Do we have anything else on the list?
Well, we were talking about, like, speaking of, like, looking at Instagram and stuff, like, that I was listening to a podcast where the person was saying that he was, like, oh, God, he was, like, realizing that he needed to get out he was looking at his phone all the time, that he had 8 hours of screen time average a day, and everyone was like, oh, my gosh. And so I try to, like, keep it under 5, which still seems like a lot. But then it turns out you have 9 hours of screen time a day.
I know. When you were telling me this story, I'm like, oh, my God, that is ludicrous. I think I said I had 9 hours a week.
Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were on your phone a lot more than like, that. It must only be when I'm around.
I'm like, I am on my phone, you know, on the train. And, you know, I have it open at work, but I'm not on it, you know, all the time. So I'm like, yeah, that seems about right. But no, it's 9 hours a day. I was like, that is crazy. Think of all the books I could be reading.
It's a lot of
liking posts that I don't read.
And I guess the one last thing we can talk about is that you were showing me that your friend started, like, a t-shirt company or something. And so you showed me the shirt and it said OPE on it. And you're like, do you know what this means? And I was just like, get down with OPE. Like, I'm like, what is OPE? What does this stand for? And so it turns out it stands for OPE. And that you say it all the time. And then now I've, like, talked to friends about it and everybody's, like, saying it all the time.
It's so weird because I forget what the best Midwest designs, maybe like that, something like that. I'm sure you could find it on social media. And so, like, they've been just showing their shirts and it said OPE. And for as long as they've been doing this, for a couple of months, I never, like, they'd always, you know, that would be, like, one of their models would show the OPE. And I'm like, I don't really understand what this means.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, something, well, I was at the kitchen counter doing dishes and the cat jumped up and I'm like, OPE. I'm like, oh my God, I say OPE all the time. And now that I know how much I say it, every time something is shocking to me or
OPE.
I do it all the time. I'm embarrassed about how much
I can't get it out of my head. I don't think I say it, but now I can't unhear it being said all the time.
And you said your friend Amanda says whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So is
variations
that,
on it.
So that must, is that just a Midwestern thing?
Yeah, she's from Michigan.
Oh, she's from Michigan,
so
too.
Maybe Michigan, you add the W.
OPE.
Whoop.
But yeah, I can't believe how much I do OPE. Or how much I'm surprised by things.
I was kind of feeling when people say, like, something is, like, very Midwest, I kind of, like, have a chip on my shoulder about that. Like, what does that mean? Like, is that a...
like a slam?
It's always,
on
like,
the...
something lame.
Yeah. OPE is fine. I'm fine with OPE.
It's kind of corny, though.
Well, you don't say it because you're not from the Midwest.
I guess so. I don't think I do. Have you heard me
I've
say
not
it?
Noticed you say OPE.
Now I'm afraid that I'm going to.
Especially with with so many animals around jumping on things.
Oop. Yeah. Okay, if I stop saying it like as a joke, yeah. It's gonna stick.
Yeah, like yesterday you were doing the Chili's commercial.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, the baby back, baby back, baby back, and we could not stop doing that with that melody with things.
On podcast Extra Hot Grades, like a TV podcast, they were talking about how annoying the Chili's commercials are and how the new Chili's commercials are just, it's just like they use is that like the old baby back ribs ads, but you can put anything into it. So we were like making up songs with that as the melody, and then you can't get that out of your head.
So have a great day, everybody.
You're welcome.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morning.